Well, good morning, and welcome to Worship Online for this Sunday, August the 28th. We are glad that you were with us online. We wish you could join us in person at our cottage church, but we know that God is with you and us wherever we may be. Our treaty acknowledgement. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge that we live, work, and play on the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Confederacy, Siksika, Kainai, Piikani, and the Tsuut'ina, the Stoney Nakoda Nations, the Métis Nation Region 3, and all people who make their homes in the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta. We also reaffirm our pledge to stand for justice and our commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. Together we hope that all can find the true love of God and authentic community. Our call to worship responsively, the words will appear on the screen as we go through this. O Lord our God, creator of our land, our earth, the trees, the animals, and humans, all is for your honor. The drums beat it out. The people sing about it. They dance with noisy joy that you are the Lord. You also have pulled the other continents out of the sea. What a wonderful world you have made out of wet mud, and what beautiful men and women. We thank you for all the beauty of this earth. The grace of your creation is like a cool day between rainy seasons. We drink in your creation with our eyes. We listen to the birds' jubilee with our ears. How strong and good and sure your earth smells, and everything that grows here. We drink in your creation and cannot get enough of it. Bless our land and people. Prepare us for service that we should render. Amen. Let us pray. And so, God, we do come this morning needing to be touched by you, our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. We pray that you will help us to truly worship you, and we give you all the honor and glory that is due your name. So our first scripture reading this morning is a long psalm. We're going to read the whole thing because I love this psalm, and it is from the Message that gives it a bit of a different twist for us. Psalm 104, starting at verse 1, from the Message. O my soul, bless God. God, my God, how great you are. Beautifully, gloriously robed, dressed up in sunshine, and all heaven stretched out for your tent. You built your palace on the ocean deeps, made a chariot out of clouds and took off on wind wings. You commandeered winds as messengers, appointed fire and flame as ambassadors. You set earth on a firm foundation so that nothing can shake it ever. You blanketed earth with ocean, covered the mountains with deep waters. Then you roared and the water ran away. Your thunder crash put it to flight. Mountains pushed up, valleys spread out in the places you assigned them. You set boundaries between earth and sea. Never again will the earth be flooded. You started the springs and rivers, sent them flowing among the hills. All the wild animals now drink their fill. Wild donkeys quench their thirst. Along the riverbanks, the birds build nests. Ravens make their voices heard. You water the mountains from your heavenly reservoirs. Earth is supplied with plenty of water. You make grass grow for the livestock, hay for the animals that plow the ground. Oh yes, God brings grain from the land, wine to make people happy, their faces glowing with health, a people well fed and hearty. God's trees are well watered, the Lebanon cedars he planted. Birds build their nest in those trees. Look, the stork at home in the treetop. Mountain goats climb about the cliffs. Badgers burrow among the rocks. The moon keeps track of the seasons. The sun is in charge of each day. When it's dark and night takes over, all the forest creatures come out. The young lions roar for their prey, clamoring to God for their supper. When the sun comes up, they vanish, lazily stretched out in their dens. Meanwhile, men and women go to work, busy at their jobs until evening. What a wildly wonderful world, God. You made it all, with wisdom at your side, made earth overflow with your wonderful creations. Oh, look, the deep, wide sea, brimming with fish past counting, sardines and sharks and salmon. Ships plow those waters, and Leviathan, your pet dragon, romps in them. All the creatures look expectantly to you to give them their meals on time. You come and they gather around. You open your hand and they eat from it. If you turn your back, they die in a minute. Take back your spirit and they die, revert to original mud. Send your spirit and they spring to life. The whole countryside is bloom and blossom. The glory of God, let it last forever. Let God enjoy his creation. He takes one look at earth and triggers an earthquake, points a finger at the mountains and volcanoes erupt. Oh, let me sing to God all my life long, sing hymns to my God as long as I live. Oh, let my song bless, please him. I'm so pleased to be singing to God. But clear the ground of sinners, no more godless men and women. Oh, my soul, bless God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I just love the imagery of all of that psalm. It is so filled with richness, isn't it? And have you ever thought about how much God does enjoy his creation? You and me and all of creation. He created it, he loves it, and he delights in us, in it and in us. It's wonderful. I want us to spend a little bit of time in prayer this morning. One of the things that I have loved about Cottage Church this summer is that we are able to share prayer requests, praise items, things that are on our hearts, and all of that kind of thing. That's a little harder to do online, but I know that many of you will pray, continue to pray your prayers, and God hears us wherever we are. So let us pray together. Creator God, Father of all of us, we adore you. We praise your holy name. And we acknowledge that you alone are worthy of all the glory and the honor that we can give to you. Forgive us when we fail to adore you as we should. You have blessed us with so very much. And we pray that we will be filled with that spirit of generosity, cheerful givers, giving back to you just a portion of all you have blessed us with. And that you will take that and multiply it for your kingdom to grow here on earth. Use us, our time and our talents, as you would. Teach us your priorities so that we may spend our time and our talents in a way that is honoring to you. Forgive us when we have failed to give you the first fruits of all that you have given us. We think this morning of the many people in our midst, in our neighborhoods, and our friends, and our families. So many that are tired and weary. Help us to learn to truly rest in you, to be renewed again and again in you, to be refreshed. Move in us, we pray. We thank you for the way that you have cared for us over the years, over the months, particularly in the past few weeks. And we know that you will continue to care for us and for each one who love you. We think of those that are sick in our midst, particularly those suffering from COVID. We pray that you will be with them, heal them, and help them, we pray. We think of all of those who are struggling with mental health issues, the hidden illnesses that we don't see. But we know that you do, and that you are there, wherever they may be, for whatever they may need. As our teachers have already started to prepare for this coming year, and our students are preparing to go back to school this week, we pray that you will be with them. Be in those classrooms and those halls, in the meetings and the teaching. Help those teachers who are your hands and feet in our schools to continue to encourage fellow teachers and students to grow into all that you have created each one to be. And bless this school year, we pray. We think of those in the Ukraine who are suffering in this war. Oh God, bring an end to this war. Bring peace in that country. We think of places like Sudan and Afghanistan and Myanmar, Burma, and other places where unrest rules. God, they need your peace too. And I know that the unrest grieves your heart more than it does ours. And so we pray that you will fill the hearts and minds of your servants in those places and help them to be your instruments of peace, your peace. Father, we think of all of those that are suffering from other natural disasters like forest fires and floods and the many, many things. We pray that you will be with them as well and help them. Help those that are risking their lives for our safety and help those who are facing devastating, traumatic life changes. To lean into your care and restore their lives, we pray. Touch them. You care for the little birds, and you care for us in the same way. Teach us to remember that always, and help us to rise up like wings of eagles. As we rest in you. You are our God, and we worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our second scripture reading is one of my husband's favorite scriptures. And I'm reading from Isaiah 40, 27 to 31 in the Message. Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see and imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath. He knows everything, inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young people in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our, I want to spend some time thanking all of you who have been so faithful in giving your tithes and offerings over the summer, even when we're away. And we appreciate that you continue to honor God as you give to His work in our church and throughout His kingdom. May God bless each one of you. And our third scripture, I know we don't often have three, but our third scripture today is from Matthew 6, verses 25 to 33, again from the Message. And if you haven't figured out what the theme of our creation calls service today is, it is birds, and this is one that speaks specifically to that. Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outward appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to Him than the birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion. Do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never print or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think He'll attend to you, take pride in you, do His best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how He works. Deep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I want to talk today about birth. We've been doing creation calls all summer long, and various different themes. We've talked about water and rocks and wind. We've talked about trees. And we've been learning a lot about nature calling to us, God calling to us through nature that He created. It's a real blessing, isn't it? And today is birds. Now, I have to confess, I have a bit of a fear of birds. When I was young, there was a traumatic incident in my life that made me quite fearful of birds. And so it's something I've had to work to overcome. But I love birds from a distance, and I love to watch them. Scripture talks about birds over and over. 127 times, depending on the translation, birds are mentioned. Doves, more specifically, 46 times, eagles 30 times, etc. Lots and lots of talk about birds throughout the scriptures. We just read in Matthew about the birds of the field, and that's our memory verse for this week, isn't it? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Scripture talks about the dove and the pigeon in the story of Noah. Noah sends out a dove to see if the land is dry. In the Mosaic Law, it made very clear that anyone who cannot afford a lamb is to bring two doves or two young pigeons to the Lord as a penalty for their sin, one for sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. from Leviticus. And then Moses and the Israelites, when they were in the desert, God spoke to them. God spoke to Moses, "I've listened to the complaints of the Israelites. Now tell them, at dusk you will eat meat, and at dawn you will eat your fill of bread, and you will realize that I am God." And that evening, quail flew in and covered the camp. God used birds in so many ways. There is a long list of all the different kinds of birds. What are some of the ones that you can name? Some of them, like parrots and like lovebirds and budgies and parakeets, are ones we would tend to keep in our home. Some of them you absolutely can't do. Some of them are quite extraordinary, like toucans, and others are totally ugly, like vultures and condors. In different parts of the world, there are different birds that you can see. And the study of birds is something quite fascinating for some people. Leviticus 11 says, starting in verse 13, "These are the birds you are to regard as unclean." Now, this is, again, in the Mosaic Law, and we've talked about the fact that a lot of things that God says don't eat in the Mosaic Law or don't do in the Mosaic Law are for health reasons, and we talked about that last week in our cottage church. And again, this is very clear here. "These are the birds you are to regard as unclean and not eat, because they're unclean. The eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the red kite, any kind of black kite, any kind of raven, the horned owl, the screech owl, the gull, any kind of hawk, the little owl, the cormorant, the great owl, the white owl, the desert owl, the osprey, the stork, any kind of heron, the hoopoe, and the bat." Have you ever heard of all of that? All of those are unclean birds. Most of those would be considered unclean because they eat things that are decaying, and that would make them very dangerous to eat. And so God is protecting the people by saying all of that. But yet, even though they're unclean to eat, there are very many examples throughout Scripture of how God uses those birds to care for other parts of His creation. For instance, Elijah. In Elijah 17, God uses the ravens to minister to Elijah. Elijah 17, starting at verse 1. And then this happened. Elijah the Tishbite. Remember, Elijah was a prophet, right? Elijah the Tishbite from among the settlers of Gilead confronted Ahab. "As surely as God lives, the God of Israel, before whom I stand in obedient service, the next years are going to see a total drought, not a drop of dew or rain, unless I say otherwise." God then told Elijah, "Get out of here and fast. Head east and hide out at the Gareth Ravine on the other side of the Jordan River. You can drink fresh water from the brook. I've ordered the ravens to feed you." Elijah obeyed God's orders. And he went and camped in the Gareth Canyon on the other side of the Jordan. And sure enough, the ravens brought him his meals, both breakfast and supper, and he drank from the brook. So God orders all of His creation. We talked about how Jesus controlled the waves, the wind and the waves, and how God is our mighty rock. Every time we turn around, we see examples of how God is ordering His creation. And that is true here, too. Now, I want to tell you a couple of interesting stories. Two stories that are lessons I have learned from the eagle. Both have strong messages for us, and both relate to the church. The first one is the story of eagles and mud hens. As I've said, I grew up in the Okanagan, and when I was a young teenager, we lived right on Okanagan Lake. And it was fascinating to watch in the late winter, early spring, the mud hens, who were on the unfrozen part of the lake as close to shore as possible. There were also a couple of eagles that were nesting in the tree near our house, and I loved to watch those eagles soar. But in the early spring, when the eagles were hungry and there was still snow on the ground, so there wasn't a lot of animals scurrying around for them to feed on, they like to feed on the mud hens. And so the mud hens, when the eagles started to circle around, would clump together in a very tight group. And every time that the eagle would soar and come down toward the mud hens, they'd all flap their wings, and the eagle couldn't get near them all as long as they stayed together in a tight circle in a clump. But the eagle would persevere over and over again. And eventually, sometimes as long as an hour and a half, one little mud hen would stray away from the pack. And then as soon as that mud hen did that, the eagle had its meal. It's kind of what the church is like, isn't it? We are to fellowship together. We are to be together to protect each other, to help each other out, to make sure that one of us doesn't wander away and gets attacked. It's such an important lesson for us to learn. It's why it's important for us to meet together as God's family as often as we can. And I know that there are sometimes reasons why we can't, and that's why we have our services online for those of you that can't. But if you can, let's get back into the habit of meeting together in church, helping each other to journey together, in walk or being in a tight pack so one doesn't stray away. Come and come join us. The second lesson is perhaps a fable. There are some who say this is a myth and some who say, no, it's true. Regardless, it has been a story that I have appreciated over time because I really understand the growth and or the meaning and moral behind it. There are some that say that there are eagles, when they are dying or very injured, who have two choices, either painful regrowth or death. And if the eagle chooses the painful regrowth, they will go and they will hide in the crevice of a rock somewhere, way up high. And with their very old, no longer sharp beak, they will pull out the talons of each of their talons that are now no longer sharp and effective either. Must be very painful. And then they will bang their beak against the rock over and over till it falls off too. And like us, where our nails regrow, the talons will regrow, and they will grow in sharp and useful. And an eagle's beak will regrow, sharp and useful. And it will take months for all of that to happen, but the eagle waits it out, bears it out, and finally is renewed and able to continue to have a fruitful life because of its sharp talons and its sharp beak. Yes, that might not necessarily be true. I have no proof either direction. But I think the point of all of that is very clear. I strongly believe that the church of today, around the world, but particularly in North America, has a choice to make. Many, many churches, sadly, are dying. And even those that are not still have to make a choice. We choose the often painful process of change, or we die. The church is God's people. The bride of Christ will actually never die. But those that refuse to make the necessary changes that are required to reach this generation and this culture will die. It is important that the church stays true to Scripture, to the Gospel, to the good news of Jesus Christ, but the church also needs to stay relevant. We can't reach this world so that that so needs God's love and mercy and grace and God's salvation, God's peace, unless we find effective ways to be God's hands and feet in a hurting world. We have to make a serious commitment to regrowth and renewal. It will be painful, absolutely, and it will take time, definitely. But the same God who cares for the little birds, the sparrows, the doves, and the eagles, will go with us and will go before us, showing us the way. And he will help us to make the changes needed and to renew and refresh. He loves his church more than we do. He created us and he created the church. He calls us and he calls the church. His creation calls. So arise, O church, arise. Renewed and refreshed and once more effective. So this brings our Cottage Church Summer Series on Creation Calls to a close for this year. There are many other themes that we haven't covered that you might find interesting to explore. Things like flowers and soil and wheat and wilderness. And if you go through Psalm 104 again, many other things fun to be exploring. And so I encourage you to explore this scriptures with fresh ideas and thoughts, open to what God is saying and how he is calling you as part of his creation. Creation is calling, and the God of creation is calling us. How will we respond? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the way you care for the least of your creation, for the birds, and the example that that gives to us. Thank you for the examples of the eagle. And may we, as your people, heed your call. Be with us as we go forth, we pray. Amen. And now, may you run and not be weary. May you rise up on the wings of eagles. May you know without doubt that the everlasting God goes with you wherever you may go. Go. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.